And welcome, my friends, to The Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, reaching 100-plus nations around the world through this amazing God-provided means of the Internet. And we want to be sure that our audience understands that we are wanting to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and understand His life and live out His life in our families. Wherever we live, whatever country you live in, we want to see ourselves discipled to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and to follow His commandments. And that is going to be the thrust of this program today as we consider once again The Least of These with Jeff Brodsky from Joy International. Jeff has been with us a number of times before. He is the director of Joy International, and his passion is rescuing young ladies, young girls who are kidnapped and subjected to sex slavery in various nations around the world. And this is a rising phenomenon. And be sure you understand, my friends, that the world has not been cleansed from this particular evil. This evil has existed for a very, very long time, and it continues and maybe even increasing in our generation. So therefore, as Christians who are concerned for the least of these, let's be sure we're aware of these things, and we are ourselves addressing ourselves to the least of these wherever Jesus places us. And so Jeff Brodsky now joins me in the Generations studio, and he has written a brand new book called The Least of These. It is brand new, hot off the press today, and it is a story of one man's remarkable journey in the fight against child trafficking. And Jeff, welcome once again to the Generations broadcast.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for having me again.
It's good to have you here. I know you've been here a number of times, maybe, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
We jumped into this particular cause, and we want to see that Jesus is setting the captives free in more ways than one, and He is setting captives free. You have seen this firsthand.
Oh, absolutely. Hundreds. Since we started in this ministry of rescuing child sex slaves, we've seen somewhere around 2,000 girls and boys that have been rescued and set free, put on a good path where they can have their lives restored and then reintegrated back into society to become productive citizens in their countries.
And there's nothing more exciting than to realize that Jesus came to set us free.
That's right.
And if the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed at every level. In fact, 1 Corinthians 7, verses 20 to 23, I was just reviewing this with our interns in the basement this morning, minutes before you arrived, we were reading this passage. And Jesus is talking about the importance of His redemption, that His redemption has come not just to set us free from sin, but also to set us free from the consequences of sin, including the unnecessary and horrific conditions of slavery, of human slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came to set the captives free at every level. Mm-hmm. And we see this throughout history. St. Patrick was dead set against the slave trade that was going on in Ireland in the 5th century. So was Augustine. So were others. William Wilberforce, another example of a modern man who fought tooth and nail against the modern rise of this slave-based system and the slave trade in the 19th century.
I just wrote an article about it, and I used William Wilberforce as one of my examples. It was in 1863 that it finally passed in the UK for what he fought his life for, and then it was just a few days later that he actually died.
Mm-hmm.
But did slavery end in 1863?
No,
in the
it did
UK?
Not. No.
Did it end in 1865 with the Emancipation Proclamation?
No, it did not.
No, it didn't end. Mm-hmm. It was just made illegal.
That's right.
There were hundreds of thousands of slaves back then.
Mm-hmm.
There's over 27 million today. It didn't end.
It did not end. In fact, because, well, Satan hasn't ended.
Sure.
He continues his work, and part of his work is to bring the most horrific forms, the most devastating forms of slavery into the lives of young men and young women. And some of these sex slaves, we're talking very young.
Mm-hmm. Very young? Mm-hmm. We have seen girls rescued as young as 4 years old, Kevin.
Yeah, it's horrendous.
4 years old, being used in brothels for the sick sexual desires of the most evil men on earth.
Mm-hmm.
4 years old is the youngest that we've found so far.
God have mercy. And there's probably nothing more important than to engage this ministry. And you've been doing it now for 20 years?
No, this is our 37th year.
Isn't that something? Okay.
37 years. Now, it's been the last 12 years that we have completely had a redirection in our ministry. It was about 12 years ago when God revealed to me that this is where he wanted me with Joy International in seeking out who I believe are the least of these in children and teens and young women that are forced into the sex trade.
Jeff Brodsky is dealing with the worst crimes on the planet, my friends. There are countries out there where the worst possible police corruption is happening and where there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of sex slaves that are being processed into countries around the world, including this one.
Absolutely.
And we have to be sure that there's awareness, but we also have to be sure that there are actions being taken to set these captives free. And that's what Joy International is involved with. You literally are setting up rescues for these young women and these young men around the globe. What nations are you active?
Well, right now, I'll give you an example. Right now, we have a major concentration in Cambodia. Mm-hmm. Does that mean we're only working in Cambodia? No, because girls in Cambodia or the commercial sexual exploitation of children, teens, and young women in Cambodia, don't just include Cambodian citizens. The girls will be trafficked to and from China into Cambodia, Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, Laos, Burma, Vietnam, Thailand. So we're not just talking about one country. We're talking about probably a good 7 to 9 countries just in that region. Mm-hmm. So,
You mentioned Tunisia as well. Tunisia may be a place where you may be active.
Well, we'll be going there. I'll be going there this year. They've been working diligently. There's a young woman there that has been working diligently with the government. She heard me speak at a symposium in Washington, D.C. last year and has pleaded with me to help because what happens in Africa is the African continent, you know, Tunisia is right on the northern tip. So countries from all over Africa, the traffickers will ship girls up, traffic them to Tunisia, put them on ships, and then they'll ship them to countries across Europe and then into Europe. So that's something that she has pleaded with me to help her. Mm-hmm. So we've been developing a program now for about 8 months, and I'll be going there probably in about 2 to 3 months.
Now, in order for you to be successful in rescues in these particular nations, you said there are certain factors that are just essential. You've got to find a way to incarcerate these perpetrators. And so what is absolutely essential for you to be able to operate as a rescue organization in these countries?
Well, you know, in the beginning, Kevin, I did whatever I could do. I was willing to do anything, risk my life. I would go deep undercover. A lot of those stories are actually in my my book, The Least of These, which actually ships today. But I found that when I went undercover, I would have hidden cameras. Could have been a pen or a button or what have you. And we would get footage that there were young girls, 10, 11, 12 years old, 13. And we would bring the footage to the police. Then the police would arrange a raid the next day. The next day we would get there and everybody was gone. And that was because of the corruption. And after time and time and time again, I thought, we were spending tens of thousands of dollars. I thought, God, there has to be a better way. And so many of my friends would say, Jeff, why don't you just give this up? And I thought, give this up? Would you want me to give this up if it was your daughter that we were trying to rescue?
Oh, no.
So I don't look at it that way because I don't see it as my child or your child. I see it as God's child. Mm-hmm. He's the creator of every human being on this earth. And he tells us in the script, Jeremiah 1:5, before you were in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I created you. We're just the tools that bring life into the world. God uses us as his tools to bring life, but he's the creator. So that's how I see each one of those children. And when I would go undercover and I saw that it wasn't working, I had to step back and say, okay, Father, there has to be a better way. And that's when we started to look at, okay, what if we were to put together an elite team, an anti-human trafficking task force of police that you fully vet and know without question that they're not corrupt? Perhaps you could find them in Christian churches is one of the first places we would look. And as we started to develop these teams, we then brought on board a gentleman. His name is Robert. I can't say his last name. Robert S. He is the new director of tactical operations for a new division that we started.
Okay.
Well, it's not new anymore. It's been quite a while now. And just give you an example, in the last 3 years, the teams that he started training, it's the Anti-Human Trafficking Juvenile Protection Police Team, headed by a three-star general who has become a very close friend in Cambodia. That team, since he, and he's trained probably about six teams now, which cost Joy International about $15,000 just for one training.
Yeah.
We're doing about five a year now, so it's very expensive. But is it worth it? It'd be worth it just to rescue one girl.
Sure, on $15,000.
Well, they have rescued so far, since he started training them, over 900 girls.
Wow.
So is it worth it? Oh, my.
It's huge.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's huge. So, and this last training that we did, I was just there 2 weeks ago. The last training that we did, it was the first time in the history of Cambodia that five police women were a part of the training. It's very intense training. My trainers were trained by the Israeli military special forces. Mm-hmm. We have a 30-year Army combat veteran. We have an 8-year Marine combat veteran who trained special forces military from here in America. And now they've put this tremendous program together. It's literally, Kevin, it's literally changing a nation.
Right.
So
you have to work with the indigenous police forces and the district attorneys and the judges, the legal systems in these particular countries.
I'd say in the last probably, in the last 2 years that I could think of, every rescue that we have empowered has resulted in an arrest, prosecution, conviction, imprisonment of the perpetrator. When I say perpetrator, usually the brothel owner or pimps.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best form of prevention, without question, is to get the perpetrator in prison. Because when you get that perpetrator in prison, think of the number of girls you have prevented from being trafficked. It could be in the hundreds to thousands just from one major pimp or trafficker.
Right.
So that's so vitally important.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 5 years of working in Cambodia before we got to establish this team. And I'll never forget, it was the last trip that I took there during that five-year period. I wasn't seeing results. And I remember telling my wife, I said, "Hun, this is the last time I'm going." I said, "If I can't find someone that I could work with on this trip, then I won't be going back to Cambodia." I've been to Cambodia probably 20 times since that last
trip. How hard is it, Jeff, to find a police officer, a DA, who is uncorruptible, or at least you can work with and successfully prosecute some of these perps?
This is where the investigation from our teams working with people that we know have been fully vetted in that particular country, and we can pretty much guarantee, there really is no 100% guarantee, but these guys know that are part of our team, if you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, it's not going to sit well with you. You are going to jail. And like in Tunisia, one of the things that I shared with the people there is, before I can work with you, you must find a high-ranking police official, a prosecutor, judges that you can work with that are not corrupt. Uh-huh. And it's taken quite a bit of time.
Takes some time, yeah. But there's one. There's one good judge somewhere in Tunisia. There may be one good prosecutor somewhere in Tunisia, and you're going to find them.
I can show
by
you
God's grace.
Dozens and dozens of articles from here in the United States, newspapers from all over the United States, judges, lawyers, police, even captains that were found with child pornography or trafficking
That's
children
right. Mm-hmm.
right here in our country.
Oh, absolutely. They're everywhere.
It's a nightmare. It is the fastest growing crime in our world today.
Mm.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
There is no worse evil perpetrated against a child than this.
Mm-hmm.
Since the dawn of creation, there is nothing. What these children have to experience, servicing, I don't have to paint a picture of what that means, but servicing 10 to 15, up to 20 men a day. Could you imagine where their minds are?
Yeah.
They've given up on life. They're just surviving.
Yeah.
Many will commit suicide or die of disease or exposure. Their average lifespan is 5 to 7 years before they'll either die of disease or kill themselves because they just can't take it anymore.
Yeah. I think this is what Jesus is referring to in Matthew 18. He was referring to all sorts of child abuse, but when he said it would be better for that person who stumbles a little one, that he be drowned at the bottom of the sea with a millstone hanging around his neck.
Yeah.
Jesus is referring to his love for children and his judgment and his justice that needs to be meted out upon those who will willfully stumble children spiritually, emotionally, sexually, physically, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Yeah.
What was it that motivated you to get involved? Get down to the heart of your book, The Least of These, just for a moment, Jeff. What was it? Was it the love of Christ? I mean, did you see Jesus involved in this issue?
It was probably around 1979, 1980, mm-hmm. When I had been working for an organization, they're still around today, called Food for the Hungry, and I had just left them, and I was an ambassador for them, ministering around the world. And I remember when I was leaving them, I was in the back of a friend's car, and I had my Bible open. I call it reading the red. I was reading the red, the words of Jesus, mm-hmm. and I came across Matthew 25, especially verse 40, where he says, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you've done it unto me." And I thought, who's that? Wait, what do you mean? Why couldn't you be more specific? Who's the least of these? And it set me on a journey of discovery, Kevin. I thought, who are the least of these? Who are the lowest of the low on this earth? Mm-hmm. And I remember I went to leper colonies, ministering in leper colonies. I thought, man, you can't get any lower than this, especially the children of lepers. Every person in that colony, over 300 of them, were beggars because nobody would hire them. I remember the children of Biafra with AIDS. I thought, man, you can't get any lower than this. I remember when I was in India and Mother Teresa sent a messenger to my hotel because this is when in my clowning days when I shared the gospel with my clown character. And she sent a messenger with a note to come and visit her home. And so I went to the home for the destitute and dying, a home for children. I thought, oh my gosh, these people laying on slabs just waiting to die. Can't get any lower than that. And it was one thing after another after another. And then it was probably about 12 years ago, I was watching an expose and on television, and it showed children 6, 7 years old that were offering their services to undercover people. And I thought, what? How could this be happening? How could this be happening and me not know about it with all the travels I do around the world? Mm-hmm. And I started to research the child sex trade. The more I researched it, the more I realized that that was it. My search ended. Mm-hmm. When I found what was happening to so many hundreds of thousands of children around the world, I remember turning to my wife one night and saying, "Gail, my life is over as I know it."
Yeah.
I said, as long as this is happening to a child, that a child has to do this every day, I said, I'll devote the rest of my life to rescuing as many as I can. And I've been doing it ever since.
It's time to give up my life. This is it. We give up our lives for what Jesus is mm-hmm. directing us to. And you talk about awareness without action is apathy. And I think this is really key. How do you get past apathy? We have all this awareness going on. Mm-hmm. I encourage people to buy your book. I encourage people to your website, joy.org. The people are listening to this radio program. We've had you on the program 3 or 4 times in the past. Mm-hmm. But there are still people out there who they're just not doing anything for anybody. And maybe right now they're thinking to themselves, you know, it's time to do something. I've had all this awareness. There's been little action in my life. Now what? How do they get past the apathy?
By taking action. You know, when I speak, whether it be in front of this microphone, there are people listening right now, whether it be at a school, at a conference, at a church, for a civic or social organization, no matter where it is, my prayer as I'm walking up is always the same. Father, use me as your voice today to motivate at least one person to action in a way that would help me to rescue even one more girl. If I don't do that, I don't do this just to make people aware. Awareness is good, and this is the theme throughout my book. Awareness is good, but awareness without action is apathy. If I make you aware of something and you choose to do nothing about it, what have I accomplished? Nothing.
I think it's been counterproductive.
Yeah. What have I accomplished? If I'm not motivating people to action, what am I doing?
Right.
Tickling their ears with all the wild stories?
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm doing. That's mm-hmm. not what I'm doing here in this studio with you in front of this microphone. I'm here because I believe with all my heart that there's the potential that one person out there may be motivated to action. Now, what does that mean? It could mean a number of things. We've had people that have listened to me when I've been on your show before that have become the biggest donors to our ministry. The gratitude that I have for you and your show.
Give God all the glory. Give God all the glory.
Absolutely, without question. But I don't know if you really understand the magnitude mm-hmm. of this microphone mm-hmm. and what this show has accomplished. It has helped us to rescue literally hundreds and hundreds of girls.
Praise God.
Because I was in front of this microphone to your audience. It's incredible, and it's going to continue more and more just with some of the people that I shared with you before, like with the Barefoot Miles that we're doing now, the one in Alaska, with someone that heard me on your show. It's incredible.
And you've got 11 Barefoot Miles scheduled around the United States and around the world. Isn't that something?
These Barefoot Miles, and I don't know if people know about me being barefoot, 2,810 days today without even a sock on my foot. And I didn't do it. I didn't start going barefoot to raise money.
Right.
I did that to raise awareness and hopefully motivate people to action. It was one little church youth group in Coshocton, Ohio, that after they heard me, they called me and said, we'd like to do a walk. We're going to call it the Barefoot Mile in solidarity with you. And that's when it was birthed. When I saw how much money they raised, I thought, wow, maybe I could use this as an opportunity to raise, because the rescue of these children, teens, young women, and even men. We had a rescue operation a few months ago from Cambodia to Malaysia, 13 men that were rescued that were being forced to be slaves on fishing boats. It's probably 98% are children, girls, teens, young women, but sometimes it's boys as well and young men.
So one barefoot mile, someone says, hey, I would like to sign up for that barefoot mile. It involves a raising a little bit of money in the process, but that could bring about the rescue of hundreds, hundreds of young ladies.
That's absolutely, absolutely correct. Every barefoot mile that we have brings in funds which will result in children being rescued from the sex trade without question. You make a difference on a barefoot mile with every step you take. And important that people know this, that you don't have to do the walk barefoot. There are many people that walk with us that don't walk barefoot. You know, it's encouraged, and probably 90% of the people do. And, you know, I was saying before about how this microphone has motivated people to action to help me. Your daughter, Becca.
Yes, she went on a trip with Cambodia with you. That's right.
She went to Cambodia with us, and as a matter of fact, her photo's in my book.
then get 10 copies of it.
there's quite a few photos, and it was funny. I was looking at it the other day, and there's one photo of this fifth anniversary barefoot mile that we had in Cambodia, and Becca was on it, and the photo that they chose, I gave them dozens of photos, happens to be with her right in the front waving. I thought, oh, that's so cool that Becca's there.
We'll get a case of those books. We'll get a case of those books, Jeff. Again, the book is The Least of These, One Man's Remarkable Journey and the Fight Against Child Trafficking. Jeff, as you look back at your participation, you got involved. You went, you were aware, God said, tag, you're it. These are the least of these. Love these. A care for these. This is the heart of Jesus. As you began to do what Jesus does, how did that change your life?
By seeing results. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the calling that's on my life, Kevin, I believe I'm a Messianic Jew. When I accepted Jesus as my Messiah in 1976,
praise God,
I wanted to tell the world. Do you have people realize that Jesus is the Messiah? I remember when I started, because of my testimony and all the crud that happened when I was a teenager with drugs and all, I was invited to all these churches. And I remember in the early days, I would go to these churches and I would look at people and say, I called them, pardon the expression, I called them prune suckers. I thought, wait a minute, do these people know the same Jesus that I know? Aren't you excited about being here? You've known Jesus for so many years. I've known him for just a few months. I started a ministry back then called Fun in Faith Ministries. I wanted to show people how to have fun in their faith. That failed miserably, by the way, because my pastor said, Jeff, you have to do something that's called discipleship.
Yeah,
and exactly. But I believe that God has called me as a fivefold ministry evangelist. I want to see people saved.
Amen.
I want to see people that receive Jesus into their life as their Lord and Savior. who's going to tell a child in a brothel about the love of God?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, mm-hmm. Kevin. She'll be there until she's dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have to set her free physically.
Yeah.
And help her to see, because so many of them stopped believing in God years ago when they prayed and begged and pleaded, please help me, and nobody comes. They need to see that it just took them a while to get us here. And then we get them placed into a safe house where they see the love of God. And you see the moment on their life, on their face, where they realize that their nightmare is over. And then they see the other girls who have received Jesus into their life, and you see them make a decision, and then you see them during a praise and worship ceremony.
Oh, I've seen pictures.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing.
Oh,
the joy on their faces, the peace in their life.
They worship him with passion.
Hmm.
It's just incredible. That's the moment that I live for, is seeing that.
Hmm.
That's what I live for.
Jeff, you know, there's so much that we do in ministry to save lives and to save souls.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so rewarding. I think that's so fundamental to addressing the problem of the sex slave trade, especially for children. But what about politics? What is politics going to achieve? There's this FOSTA-SESTA bill that's just been approved by Congress, by the U.S. Senate, and maybe signed by the president shortly. And apparently Backpage has been backing off on the sex advertisements. It's affected Craigslist. They've pulled personals. And so it seems like maybe the political angle of this may be accomplishing something. Do you have much faith in this? Is this a good thing?
It's definitely a good thing. You know, it's interesting you ask about that today, because just yesterday, Charisma News, I wrote an article. As soon as the bill passed, I read the bill and I thought, this is interesting. And I wrote my own take on it. And Charisma News posted my article and then 2 days ago. And then yesterday, Christian Post.com, they posted the article as well, which surprised me that both of them would. But it talks about my feelings on what will happen now that this bill has taken place, which is the making it illegal to have us ads for promoting sex on the internet, online.
Mm-hmm.
And it's online pimping. It's mm-hmm. online prostitution.
Right.
So immediately, hundreds and hundreds of these ads were taken off. A lot of the websites that they led people to shut down. My question, and so everybody's praising it, and they're jumping up and down, and woohoo, this is great. I agree. It's great for today. Show me what happens 6 months from now.
Yeah.
Just like with the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863 and 1865.
Didn't really accomplish
How
that
exciting
much.
Is yeah. this?
Mm-hmm.
Slavery is over.
Yeah.
Really? Let's see what happens. Because we're talking about fighting a $150 billion with a B. A $150 billion industry.
And it's grown.
Yeah, it's growing. It used to be third to illegal arms. It passed illegal arms probably about 7 or 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and now it's second to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'll pass the drug trade because the traffickers and the organized crime, they see that this is a better commodity. You know, I'm holding my phone in my hand for those that are listening. So, Kevin, if I'm a drug dealer, and I want to make money with drugs. I find a customer, and I buy. I go to my supplier. I buy the drug from the supplier. Then I take the drug, and I mark it up a little, and I sell it to the customer. Well, I make a profit on it one time. But if it's a 14-year-old girl, I can rent her out 10, 15 times a day, every day, 7 days a week. Well, which is a better commodity? Well, mm-hmm. obviously. And I don't even have to pay for the girl, because there are ways that you can find girls for free.
Mm-hmm.
So which is the better commodity? The sex trade. Well, the online, not just online, but organized crime gangs, they're seeing that this is the way that they can make more money.
Yeah. And I think about online porn has increased access to perversion by 1,000-fold in just the last 15, 20 years. In other words, young people who didn't have access to the absolute most perverted form of sexuality mm-hmm. in 1978, 1985 are now able to click, click, click and receive some of the most horrific forms of sexual perversion that has ever been imagined in the history of mankind, and that leads directly towards this kind of perversion, the sex trade.
I have an entire chapter in my book about it. Yeah. Especially, I call them lover boys and their methods and the different places that they are going to recruit girls. One of those places that they recruit girls, besides malls and schools, is churches. They're going to churches. I was a youth pastor for 17 years. When I was a youth pastor, Kevin, a girl could walk in to the room that I never saw before. 10 seconds is all I needed. And I could tell you in 10 seconds if that girl wanted to be there or if that girl was there because her parents said, you're going to youth group tonight, whether you like it or not. Well, traffickers know how to target those girls. Mm-hmm. And I do these trainings in churches and in schools all over the country and now even around the world. I remember this one church. It was a church in Houston. I won't say the name. Very big church. And I showed them, they had an interest in having me speak. I said, you know, I could speak on this one subject on how they're using the church to recruit girls. He said, no, we don't want you to do that. I said, well, why wouldn't you want me to do that? Well, we don't want you to scare our people. I said, what? Are you kidding me? You don't want me to scare your people. This is to protect your children. This is to protect them. The best form of protection is prevention. This is a way to prevent them so that they can recognize when there's a potential trafficker. This is not just for the child, but for the parent as well. How do you recognize when there's a potential? I can show you books. Teresa Flores's book, Holly Austin Smith's book called Walking Prey, Prey. These girls lived in suburban neighborhoods here in America, and they were trafficked right out of their home. People have no idea the methods and the tactics of these predators and how they will target girls even in our churches today.
Evil is next door. Evil is practically everywhere. And we need to bring these things into the light, my friends. We need to rebuke the unfruitful works of darkness. We need to reprove these things. We as Christians are the ones who stand in the gap. We're the ones that shine the light into the darkest corners of this world and bring the light of Jesus everywhere. And of course, we want to see the captives set free in more ways than one, set free from the transgression of their sins and the bondage of the devil, but also set free from these horrific evil consequences of sin as well, and that includes sex slavery. And that's what Jeff Brodsky has dedicated his life to doing.
Yep, I'll do it until the day I take my last breath.
Amen. Yep. Amen. And the new book is The Least of These, just out. Mm-hmm. The Least of These, One Man's Remarkable Journey in the Fight Against Child Trafficking, available at joy.org. You can get it anywhere online as well. But joy.org is the website to support Joy International and the setting the captives free and ministering to the least of these whom Jesus wants us to minister to. And Jeff's ministry, joy.org, has 11 barefoot miles scheduled around the world. There's even one here in Colorado coming up.
The one in Colorado. We have two in Colorado. One of them will be on on July 19th. The other one will be in Colorado Springs on September 8th. And in just a little less than 4 weeks, on April 28th, I'm going to be in Eugene, Oregon. And you know who's hosting that?
Who's that?
Annie.
Oh, yeah. Annie, our good friend Annie, who, by the way, is one of the most important editors of my book. She's now editing my book on American history, even as we speak,
yeah, Annie,
I'm sure.
Yep, but Annie and Ross.
Annie and Ross are scheduling the next Barefoot Mile in Eugene, Oregon, yep, believe
April,
it or not.
April 28th.
Wonderful.
As a matter of fact, this is their second one. Last year, too.
Isn't that something?
You know, I'd like to do something for your listeners.
Okay.
It just came to me, and when something comes to me, I'm thinking, okay, Holy Spirit, if this is what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Anybody that orders a book from our website on joy.org, just send a note that you ordered the book on joy.org, and I will include a bracelet handmade by girls that have been rescued in Cambodia for free. I will add that to the book.
Wonderful. Just note that you heard it on the Generations broadcast.
Correct.
And you will receive a beautiful bracelet made by young ladies who have been set free.
Correct.
Set free in Jesus. And you can be a part of this ministry, at least in some small way. So if the Lord is leading you to minister to the least of these in this way, friends, now's the time for action. Now, we're not saying that everybody has to fulfill the obligation that Jesus set on us to care for the least of these in this particular way. But you heard it on this program. You have an opportunity to move from awareness to action instead of just sitting around in apathy all day long. And one way to do that would be to be involved in these Barefoot Miles and also get a copy of Jeff's new book, The Least of These, One Man's Remarkable Journey in the Fight Against Child Trafficking. And for more information on any of this, you'll find it at joy.org. That's joy.org. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us today on Generations.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I really, really appreciate it. Bless you and bless all your listeners.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.